donate my take or my take at thetakeaway.org.
Well, say your prayers if you've got a lot of pictures of Queen Elizabeth in your wallet. Take a look at them. The pound 6 months ago would have been worth $2.11. At one point yesterday afternoon, it hit $1.36.22. That's a serious low. And the pound has been hitting lows, record lows, all week long. Joining us to talk about what's going on in the British economy is Julia Vertiger, New York Times reporter based in London. Julia, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Good morning.
And now this currency issue is just sort of the tip of the iceberg. Some say it's related to essentially the nationalization of the banks that seems to be going on in London. Why would a government intervention in the banks make the pound weaker?
The key here is that any sort of further government intervention will probably increase the government debt, which is already quite high at the moment. So the dramatic drop that we've seen of the pound against the dollar and other currencies now at its lowest level since 1985 is just an image of kind of the investors being really worried about the British economy as a whole and where it's going to go from here.
Now, a few months back, they were worried about Iceland. Are they really saying in the city, Reykjavik on Thames, referring to this crisis?
They are indeed, but I have to add that those are the gloomier investors or the people who are really have a quite dark outlook on what's going to happen to the British economy. There's been talk about the ratings agencies downgrading the British economy just like they did with Greece and Spain, but these rumors have been rejected so far, and it does look like the Reykjavik on Thames or Iceland on Thames comments are overshooting it for now, at least.
Well, let's look at this from a trading perspective. I mean, a year ago, we were talking about London being something of a refuge for capital, particularly in terms of IPOs going there, that it was a less regulated environment. And so maybe there were some advantages over Wall Street. That talk has completely gone away. True?
Absolutely. I mean, that's really what's happening now. If we look back, the strong pound also over like 2 years ago, it was seen as a sign of Britain's strong economy under the former Prime Minister Tony Blair. We had lots of foreign direct investments coming from the Middle East, coming from Russia. Investment banks were building up their offices in London. Lots of international investment bankers coming to the city, and that's all been evaporated now, and people are, you know, going back to their native countries, and what we're left with is really an economy that has been built very heavily on high real estate prices and the financial sector.
Wow.
And what we're seeing now is that the financial services industry and the real estate boom, which has been responsible for about half of the total job growth in Britain over the last decade, is just in deep trouble.
So it's an old story. Real estate boom finances growth. There's an illusion that everything is fine and can't change, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's all over. Let me focus a little bit on this nationalization question. If London comes through this reasonably well, even if there is a lot of pain, is this in some sense a model for the global economy if maybe the United States needs to take a similar measure to intervene in the banks on the level of full nationalization or even, other countries in Asia like the Japanese?
Absolutely. I mean, there's this one British bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, which is being seen as a test case now. The government now owns 70% of the bank, and there's huge pressure from members of parliament here in the UK to fully nationalize that bank. And if that is going to happen, and there's another bank that also could be fully nationalized, it would push up national debt to 300% of GDP from currently 45%. That's the estimate that's out there. So it could really bug down the government with lots of debt. And what will that mean for taxpayers going forward? Will that mean that for generations British consumers will have to pay that debt?
Wow.
And And that's a big question of how can the consumers and the taxpayers be shielded from that.
Is the pound an indicator of what the euro might do in any sense, or is the independence of London and England more like Iceland's relationship to the rest of Europe?
It's a difficult question and a valid one. The problem with the pound is that it does not it's not like the reserve currency of it doesn't have the same status of the reserve currency as the dollar has, and it does not have the backing of a larger economy like the euro has. So it's somehow kind of between the rock and the hard place. Wow. There's not real it doesn't really have this established role.
So, Julia, at the very least, are you wandering around Piccadilly Circus, you know, flaunting your dollars wherever you go?
I'm trying to keep those for myself, but we are. If you see, if you walk to the main shopping streets, you see lots of your continental Europeans trying to pick up bargains, and the Americans are coming as well.
Wow. Julia Vertiger, New York Times reporter based in London, talking about the record lows of the British pound and the difficulties of the British economy. Thank you, Julia.
Sure.
What goes up must come down.
So down. So down.
Really
pick
down.
Us up, Femi, okay, with the headlines.
Thank you. I need to change my bank account. Good morning, all. 28 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.